Amen. It's truly wonderful to be here this morning, and we know that we are here alive because He lives. Amen. Because He has given us a future. We don't know what tomorrow may hold, but we do know who holds tomorrow. Amen. Yesterday has gone. Tomorrow is not promised. But today is all that we have. So when people say that we are living one day at a time, they are absolutely correct. I cannot use yesterday because it's already spent. I can't cash in on tomorrow because it's not promised. Today is all I have. So it behooves us to make the best of what we have each day of our lives. If there are things that you need to do them today. Because tomorrow is not promised. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. It's good to be here. You guys took me down a rabbit hole this morning, and it's all right. We got out. I think I got out. I don't know. I might have dug myself deeper, but I appreciate the questions. And I don't know if the answers were sufficient, but I certainly appreciate the questions. And we thank you for that. I want to give you another installment on what you know will make you grow as the third installment. And today we want to talk about excellence. Is that all right with you? The text is 2 Peter chapter 1, and the verses are 5 through 8. If you can find your way there in the Bible, we'll read those verses in your hearing. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And besides this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to welcome those who are visiting with us and say you are indeed our honored guests. We never take visitors lightly because we know that God sent you here. Amen. Not that we can be a blessing to you, but that you may be a blessing to us. Amen. Amen. Growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ requires developing a Christ-like character. We talked about the eight graces being in conjunction with one another. And I told you that it's not something that you can just take lightly. This is something that you have to do diligently. With all effort, you need to put it into your life. You need to put this chorus of things into your life that your life might be better. Is that all right? We saw that spiritual, in this spiritual construction project, it begins with faith. But faith is just rudimentary. I told you that. It doesn't mean anything if you have faith. It's good to have faith. It's okay to have faith. But faith alone is not going to be enough. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 and 6 that without faith it's impossible to please God. That's rudimentary. For faith is the catalyst that makes it possible for us to grow. But it's not growth itself. Somebody ought to say amen. It is not the end product. It's just the catalyst. And a catalyst is something that makes something else happen. It makes a chemical reaction take place when you use chemicals. A catalyst is just something that makes the chemical reaction take place. Faith is that chemical catalyst that will make growth take place. Amen. It starts everything else in the motion. But it's not the end product. So you can have your faith, but you got to do more than just have faith. I told you that faith must have something else to go with it, and that you need to add virtue to it. The word that Peter uses for add is epikoroigo, which simply means that it's a chorus. Are y'all still out there? Peter said that we talked about chorus this morning, and in your chorus you got to have all the parts working for it to sound good. Somebody need to say amen. You know, you can't do like I do. When I'm standing beside a soprano, I want to sing soprano. Somebody will say amen. If I'm standing beside a tenor, I want to sing tenor. If I'm standing beside an alto, I want to sing alto. If I'm standing beside a bass, I want to sing bass. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. I need to have all of that in my chorus in order to make it sound good. I can't just have somebody warming from one thing to another trying to do everything. That's what some folk do. We talked about it this morning. You know, some folk want to be everything. Well, move on, preacher. Yeah. So upon the foundation of faith, to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, it requires that we add virtue. And virtue simply means, I need to give you a definition, and here's how I'm going to do all these lessons. I'm going to give you a definition. Then I'm going to give you the demand for it. And then I'm going to give you a way to demonstrate it. And I'm going to give you the way of determining if it's working in your life. Are you there? Yes. Is that all right? I'm going to give you a definition first. So I need to define virtue for you. Rarely, this term, this word that Peter uses, rarely used in the New Testament. Paul used it only one time. He said, if there be any virtue, over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, he says, if there be any virtue, if there be any good things in here, if there be anything that you can see that's good in this, think on these things. Are y'all out there? Peter uses it four times in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9 in the King James Version. He says, proclaim the praise or the virtue of him. He says, when you praise somebody, you're talking about the excellence that they have. You're talking about what's good in them. Praise them for that. If you're going to proclaim it, proclaim the virtue that they have in life. Then he talks about it in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. He says, who calls us unto glory and unto virtue. And he uses it twice in our text here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5. He uses it twice. It has various translations. As my brother read from a translation this morning, it means goodness. You need to have the goodness. The NIV says that virtue is goodness. So you can't just have your faith alone, because a lot of folk run around talking about their faith, but there's no goodness in it. Is this mic on, brother? It should be. I don't hear it, but that's all right. I'll stay in front of this one. Is that okay? Can y'all hear me? So there are a lot of folk who talk about faith. I got faith in God, but they are not good people. Peter said that's not enough. And then the NASB says that it's not only goodness, but it's moral excellence. It means that you got a morality about you. Somebody ought to say amen. It's been variously explained. Wycliffe says it's excellence. JBF's Bible says that it's mainly excellence. And Clarkson Bond says that it's the courage that you have. It's the fortitude that you have. It's the vigor that you have. It's your energy. It's about going about trying to live a good life. It's not just standing around talking about how much faith you have in the Lord. You know, it's good to put it all in the hands of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Saying the Lord will provide, and the Lord will do this, and the Lord will do that. God has given you all the stuff that you need to live a good life. That's why Peter says that everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness is in the Bible. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be able to go in there and find a passage that will explain everything that you need to do. But he's saying that you have everything that you need to live a good moral life. Folk, God has given us a conscience as well to know when we're doing wrong. Folk, you don't have to, you know, I have people come all the time and ask me a question. They, well, what do you think about it? Well, you already know what's right and what's wrong. The reason why you're asking me what I think about it is because you've already determined that what you are talking about is not the right thing for you to be doing. That's because God has already given you the equipment to know the difference between right and what's wrong. Are y'all out there? In the word, if you want, if you need the Greek word for it, it's arete. That's A-R-E-T-E. If you need a Greek word for it, amen. A.T. Robinson says that it's an old word. And what he's simply saying is that this word went back during the time when the Apostle Peter wrote it was already an old word. It wasn't a new word that was just being used in Koine Greek. It was an old word that had already been used in classical Greek and they had been around for a long time. So he's saying this word mara arete was already there and they were already using this word to define moral goodness and excellence. And he's saying this, it's an old word. It talks about moral morality. It talks about intellectual standards. It talks about military excellence. It talks about being ready when things come to you that you are going to say no to. Somebody ought to say amen. The Greeks used the word to describe any mental excellence or moral quality or physical power that Robinson says. He says anytime you're talking about doing well, you know, and I know all of you parents know what I'm talking about. Because you all want your children to do what? Well. You want them to be excellent. You want them to be good. You want them to be great. That's what this word is talking about. It represents a concept of excellence in all phases of life. You strive, no matter if it's mental excellence, no matter if it's moral excellence, no matter if it's physical excellence. We all want to be in good shape physically because we're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Somehow say amen. You know, I know that I was getting ready to turn the 60 when I got out almost 4 weeks ago and decided I was going to start my power washer up. I hadn't used it in 2 years. I was going to wash down the deck and got to pulling on that thing and pulling on it and it wouldn't start. And, you know, 4 weeks later and I still don't have the full motion of this arm anymore. And every day for the last almost 4 weeks, I've been icing it down and rubbing it down and I take the ice off, I put the heat on and y'all know what I'm talking about. My body is no longer in excellent condition. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. So when we're talking about this excellence, we're talking about things functioning the way they are supposed to function. Somebody ought to say amen. You know, I as I get closer to 60, which ain't not that couple of months from now, as I get up, I got to... Y'all know what I'm talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about. It doesn't work the way it used to be. I used to just jump up and I'm on my feet. Now I gotta rock a little while. And as I rock, and if I don't get it all in time, y'all need to know, y'all know what I'm, some of y'all young folk don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you old folk know what I'm talking about. You start thinking about buying a higher toilet seat. Because everything ain't working the way it's supposed to work. But if it's excellent, if it's an excellent condition, if it's the way it's supposed to be, then you don't rock when you y'all with me? So when bad things, wrong choices come along for a person who's living morally excellent, they don't have to rock to try and figure out whether or not it's right or wrong. They already know that it's wrong and they go on because they're in excellent condition mentally and physically and spiritually. Are y'all still out there? You see, my understanding of virtue is that it connotates excellence, striving for moral perfection, that you are trying to be the best person that you possibly can be, because that's what God wants from you. It doesn't mean that you're not going to make some mistakes. Somebody else say amen. And it's not mean that you're not going to have some ups and some downs. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have some challenges in life. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have some difficulties in life. It doesn't mean that there are going to come some things that you're not going to be able to just immediately deal with them the way you want, but you will have the tools to get away from it. Somebody ought to say amen. I remember reading in my Bible that it said that there's no temptation that will overcome you when you're in excellent condition, that you're not able to take the escape. But see, when you got to sit there and rock for a little while, amen, when you got to rock for a little while, you can't get out, because you have to rock long and rock hard to try and get out. But when you're in excellent spiritual condition, you can just move on out. That's what I'm talking about. Are y'all still out there? It brings the connotation that virtue is connected to faith. We begin with our faith, confidence and trust in God and Christ. But we can add the virtue and the quality to it, because I just want to tell you that if you stay with faith, faith without works will soon die. Right. And if you are just resting on your faith, it's going to die. And so we have to add some excellence to it. We got to excel. We got to become stronger in our faith. We want our faith to be strong. We don't want it just to be faith. We want it to be strong faith. We want it to be excellent faith. We want it to be quality faith. We want it to be a faith that will deliver us no matter what goes on in our lives. You know, we sung the song, "Because He Lives." That takes faith to believe that because He lives, I can face tomorrow. You see, but if you have some doubts, say that all doubts and all fear is gone because He lives. I can face tomorrow. But if I just have that weak faith, if I just have that rudimentary faith, if I don't have some excellent faith, then I can't face tomorrow. You see, there's a demand for this virtue. I told you that was the definition, but there's a demand. Without faith, without virtue, faith soon dies. James tells us that, you know, it's going to come to an end very soon if you don't have some kind of excellence in it. When faith is joined with virtue, a desire for excellence is in our lives to serve God. You know, we talked about it this morning. Somebody said, "Well, how do I know when I'm doing what God wants me to do?" Well, you know, you when you start living an excellent life, you start seeking God's direction. Anybody out there? You start asking God, "God, what is it that you want me to do? God, how do I fit into the puzzle of the church? Where is my portion of this work in the church? Where am I?" I told you before that faith, I told you the word there for faith was hupostasis, which means to understand. Faith is the understanding. That's what the Hebrew writer says. Faith is the understanding. Faith is the understanding. And when you understand, it means two things there. Number one, it means that you get a correct understanding of stuff when you got faith. Yeah. But not only that, faith is the stand that is under you that keeps you standing up, because it's the pedestal that you stand on or that you set on. And so that faith is the understanding, and you begin to understand things a little bit better, and you realize that you can't just stay with your faith, but that you've got to start striving for some excellence, and you start asking God, "Where do I fit in this puzzle in the church? I am tired of sitting on the premises waiting on the promises. I am not on the pew just so that I can get the good news." Are y'all out there? You know, you got to strive for excellence. Without virtue, we can't grow. If you don't start striving for excellence, you can't grow. You know, my son came home a couple of days ago, and he went down into the basement, and he said, "I went down into the basement, and I have weights, and I have
two weight machines. I have a Bowflex, and I've got another weight machine, and I got all those weights, and I got weights lined across the floor and everything. I got mats down on the floor, and I have all that stuff. And he said, "There are spider webs." I had to clean the spider webs off of them. And I said, "Yeah." "Thank you." "Because I've been meaning to get back down there. But I just hadn't been able to get there. But here's the point. In working with weights, you don't lift them every day. Just like getting my arm back in shape, I know that there's either a torn or stretched tendon in there, and I need to work it. So I exercise it one day, and then I rest it on the next day. And I allow the blood and the proteins to flow to the muscle so that I know when I'm lifting the weight, it tears the muscles. And then I get the proteins and the blood to flow back to it so that the muscle will get stronger. Yeah. Yeah. Are y'all still out there? Yeah. And so I need to work those muscles. Without virtue and striving for excellence, I can't grow. And so in weightlifting, you don't lift the same weights consistently, constantly, because when I start off, I might start off with 100 pounds, and I work that for a while. I'll do like 10 reps, and then I'll stop and rest and let my body recover. And I'll go back and do 10 more reps and stop and let my body recover. And I may move on to another portion of the body, lower portion of the body, and then come back to the next. But I need at least 48 hours to let those muscles recover. And when they recover, they're going to get stronger. Now, I can't stay with 100 pounds forever. I need to start pushing it up. After I have been successful in lifting 100 pounds for so long, I may plateau. So now I've got to get off the plateau. I've come to the summit, and I'm just sitting there rocking at 100 pounds, and I'm not going anywhere. And the reason why I may not be going anywhere, because I'm working too hard and I'm not taking a little rest, because I'm not striving for excellence. I'm just showing off.
Yeah.
Are y'all out there? Say, "Well, Lord, what you talking about showing off?" Well, there's some folk in the church who just showing off. And then they get burnt out. They get burnt out because they were showing off. And when you're showing off, you're doing it for the wrong reason. You're always going to get burnt out, because when you're doing it for the wrong reason, you are showing off. And because you're showing off, you're not really into it. You just want everybody else to know that you can do it. But if God has called you to do it, and God has given you the ability to do it, then you will strive for excellence in that area, and you will get stronger at it as you continue to work out at it. And I personally believe, you know, and I said it earlier, and I say it again, you know, I long for the day when we can get elders in the church that can take a break, and we can rotate you so that you can have that break, so that you don't have to be burnt out. And also, it takes you from out of the point of trying to feel like you got ownership. Because you realize that somebody else can do the job just as well as you can do it. Somebody else say, "Man, let me move on, because that wasn't in my lesson, but that was free." But what I'm saying to you is, when you without virtue, without trying to strive for excellence, you will never grow. I remember when I first started writing. I don't know if y'all remember, but I remember when I first started writing. And when we first started writing, and it used to be when you first started writing, you didn't use this kind of pencil. It's a number two pencil, but you had that big fat pencil. Y'all remember that? That big old fat pencil. I couldn't understand why they gave me that big fat pencil. All my sisters had little pencils like this, and I wanted to use the little pencil. I wanted to write with the little pencil. And they said, "No, you got to write with the big pencil." And then the lines that they gave me was about that big. I think they were about that big. I don't know. Fit with that big pencil. And I tried to make those letters. I just kept going over them. They keep saying, just keep doing it. 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 Y'all still out there?
Yeah.
And if y'all old enough like I am, you remember when the teacher had that big thing with all the chalk on it, she'd draw it all the way across the board, she'd go across there and slide all the way across. Come on up here and show us what you've been practicing with the big fat devil. Are y'all still out there?
Yeah.
Talking about excellence. Talking about striving for excellence. Then I've been through all this, and I've gone through all this writing stuff and through school, and now I'm in my 20s, and I'm deciding that I want to go into engineering, and then they start telling me, you got to start writing all over again. You got to learn how to write all over again. No, I learned that when I was in elementary school. And they gave me a little line thing, and I had to draw the lines back out, and I had to draw them at a 1/16 of an inch, and I had to draw them at 1/8 of an inch, and I had to draw them like that, just, and I had to go back and learn how to write all over again. And then they said, no, that's not good enough. And my writing never did get to the point where, and they said, that's okay. We know that you know all the rest of the stuff. We'll get somebody else to write it on there. You just draw it. And we'll get somebody else to write it, because my writing never got to the point where it was acceptable to send out. So I would draw all the stuff up and everything on the board and put it all there. And then somebody else, I'd draw the lines in there and put where all the text needed to be. And then we had just one specific person in there, because I wasn't the only one who writing never got up to the point where it needed to be. Are y'all still out there? And then they'd bring in somebody, and that person had just excellent penmanship. And all they did was just wrote texts. Amen. But you know what was happening there? I had a skill in one area that was good, and somebody else had another skill in another area that was good. And when it came out and was representing the engineering firm that we set out, it looked like one person striving for excellence, because nobody knew that whoever did the writing and somebody else did the drawing and all the calculations and everything. Amen. Striving for excellence. Folks, there are some times that you may not live up to everything that you want to live up to, but God is saying that you need to continue to strive to get there. Somebody else say amen. You know, you can make it into heaven without having good writing. Somebody will say amen. But that don't mean that you don't keep striving. That means you don't keep working on it. That mean you don't keep trying to do your best. Because your faith without virtue and striving for excellence will die surely as you are sitting here today. Going in knowledge of Jesus Christ requires giving all diligence. Let me see if I can bring this thing to a close, because y'all looking at me mighty strange out there. You know, giving all diligence according to Peter. And he said, and if you have these things in you, he said, then you will abound. You will be able to be all that God wants you to be if you start striving to be what God wants you to be. You know, when faith is joined with virtue, striving for excellence, diligent effort is made. You don't just sit around waiting and wondering. And you know, I've been in school forever. I'm just going to tell y'all that now. I've been in school forever, and my mom called me a professional student, and that's okay. But you know what? You being in school forever, you just can't stay in school forever. Sometimes you got to use what you learn. Are y'all out there? You see, abounding in these graces don't mean I can come to Bible study and come to Bible study and come to Bible study and hear good sermons and hear good sermons and hear good sermons, but don't use what I've learned. It won't do me any good. And I think we've already talked about that. You know, people talk about knowledge is power. No, power, that knowledge is not power. Use knowledge is power. There's a demand for living excellence. Christ taught his disciples in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 48, therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And not only that, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12 and 14, he died so that we could be excellent. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says. He says, but this man, after he had offered up one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. For henceforth, expect until his enemies be made a footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. He expects us to live right. He expects us to be morally excellent. He expects us to live the way that he wants us to live. It's not a second thought. According to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, we talked about it this morning. I told you, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastor teachers. Why? He gave them for the perfecting or the equipping of the saints so that the saints will be able to work in ministry.
Yes, sir.
It's not so that you can sit around and hear another sermon. Not so that you can sit around and hear another Bible study. It's so that you can work in your ministry. Because we are all ministers. Because the word minister simply means servant. Now, there's always first among equals. There are some who will take leadership no matter what you have. Amen. That's first among equals. I can show it to you biblically, but I don't have time right now. Paul considered excellence in disciples the object of ministry according to Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. He said, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect before Christ. See, we're not around here just to be iffy Christians. We're here to be excellent Christians. Are y'all still there? You know. So he encouraged the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. He said, having this promise, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He says, you know, I can go on and on. The Bible is clear that we ought to live perfectly. Now, don't get that word twisted. Perfectly does not mean that you are perfect in the sense that we don't have any flaws. But perfect means equipped. You understand what I'm saying? You see, if you're going to the desert, you ought to take some water. That's being equipped. That's being perfect. That's being ready for the trip. That means that you're going to go out there without some water. And then, how do you develop this? Let me just bring that to a close. I'm going to say that in 10 minutes and then I'm going to take my seat. Is that all right? If y'all listen like y'all understand, I'll sit down. How do I develop this virtue? Well, you need to study the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, some of you probably can quote it. He says, you know, we need to study the Word of God. And then Psalms verses 1, chapter 1, in verses 1 through and 3, the Bible says, blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he does meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. And he shall not be moved. In everything that he do, he shall prosper. You got to meditate on the Word of God. You know, it's like this. When you study the Word of God, you learn what you're supposed to do. You go out and do what you're supposed to do. Then you come back and you reflect on what you have done. Are y'all out there? See, it's action, reflection, action. That's what meditation is. Meditation doesn't mean I'm sitting down and just contemplating with the Word of God. See, because some folk have in their mind, meditation is just you take it, you study it, and then you go in and I'm going to get into a quiet place and just reflect on what's going on. No, meditation means I learn something. I do something. And I reflect on what I have done with what I have learned. That's meditation. And then when I reflect on what I have done with what I have learned, I go back and I do it all over again, but I try to do it better this time. Are y'all still out there?
Yes.
That's meditation. Because if I just sit in the corner and meditate. Amen. And brother bring up that I was in school and they tried to teach me how to do contemplative prayer. Contemplative prayer is you close your eyes and you just get quiet and you just kind of pray in contemplative prayer. I always went to sleep for an hour, and next thing I know they were calling me, but I woke up, I was asleep, and I didn't I contemplated nothing. Amen. Don't overlook examples. There are other folk who are living the way that you ought to live. Amen. The first place started with apostolic examples. You know, we encouraged to emulate Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 9. Paul tells us, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Yes. Amen. He describes his own striving for excellence in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 12 through 14. Now, you need to consider that you look at other folk. How are other people living? Now, I'm not talking about you trying to keep up with the Joneses. But if you see a good quality in somebody's life, then you ought to imitate it. Is that all right with you? Don't rest on your laurels. Don't rest on what you used to be. Because see, folk talk about they used to be. As I said, I used to be able to work on that weight machine, but now I can't. Somebody ought to say amen. I may be able to get back there one day. But you know what? I know that I am never going to be able to do what I used to be able to do. Amen. Reach forward. Don't look for that stuff that's behind. Amen. I think I'll just quit right there. I lost my spot, and I think that's what God was trying to tell me. It's time to quit. Maybe I shouldn't have told y'all that. Y'all know.
If I can't find where I was, I'm just going to leave that alone. The striving for excellence means that I don't go back and talk about what I used to do. All of you need to talk.
Amen.
Amen. When I was 17 years old, I used to use an apple
pitch.
I used to call me the rabbit. I
Yeah.
short, hung up on the fact that I've done too many bad things in my life to live excellent for God now. No! If that be the case, nobody should be in my blood all day love this morning that I never did get to. How do you fix up when you mess up? You hear that? That was the point today. I don't know. I just got it, but that's okay. Paul can mess up real bad, but God still forgave him.
Yes, he did.
Excellent.
Yes.
Because you can always strive for excellence with God, because God can take anything and use it. I remember he used a mule one time. And if he can use a mule, I know he can use you. Because I'm no better. I'm just a dumb animal too. And if God can use that mule to get his message across and deliver an excellent message to the man of God, why can't he use you to live excellently in this world and do good in this church and do good in this community and do good in this world while you are here? God can use you.
Yes.
But you can't just live on your faith. Because faith without works is going to die. You've got to go and live better than you live. If you want to do that, you can do it right now.
There's not a friend like the Lord.